Hello, everyone, and welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives.
In this podcast, we will also help you find ways to choose the life you want to live with no fear or judgment.
My name is Tina Mason, and I am an emotional trauma intuitive and an expert in human communication, as well as how the human mind creates disease in the body. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing, where we strive to create a space for every human to heal emotionally, spiritually, and physically with no fear and no judgment.
My name is Laura Schmidt, and I have been a nurse for 17 years. I am also a registered yoga teacher with 500 hours of training. My focus is teaching gentle yoga movements to help those who deal with chronic pain. My true passion, though, is aligning the chakras to create balance and harmony within. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing.
So, Laura, what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about sneaky, sneaky sins.
Did you say sins?
Sins, S-I-N-S.
Got you. So, whether you believe in higher power, God, cosmos, energy,
the oneness,
all of it comes down to a karma, if you will, a penance for, if you create negative energy, a penance for that. Laura and I are going to refer to it today as sin, making it easy. Laura and I have a lot of similar views, so let's just get right into it. Laura?
Jump on in.
How were you raised to rank sin, if you will?
Hoo-hoo. I don't think I was ever raised a specific way. It was just sort of this. I was actually raised in the Catholic Church, Catholic school, elementary school.
Oh, you were raised that you were guilty for everything.
Everything.
Everything. If a leaf farted, it was your fault.
It was my fault. Angels didn't love me. And if it rained, it was the angels were crying. But I guess anything that was in the Bible that was considered a sin, I think we ranked it like, but that one's worse. If I lied, but you kicked somebody, that's worse. But I don't think we were ever taught like an official, I think it was just society saying, but that's the worst. You killed somebody. You cursed somebody. You didn't respect your mother.
You raped somebody.
Yes. Rape definitely is higher than disrespecting your mother. And murder, of course, is number one.
Right. But let me ask you, who said?
Exactly.
Who said?
Who said?
My belief is that sin is sin. There is no ranking, if you will. Yes, you can technically go with the Ten Commandments and say, well, God put this one number one because it was the most important one. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you this list in order of importance.
In order of importance. Well, let me share something that did happen. We go to, oh my gosh, what was it called?
I have no clue.
When you sit in the little room with the priest
confession.
And you tell him your confession.
You are a bad ex-Catholic.
Forgive me, Father, I have sinned. It's been 25 years since I've been to confession. Yeah, you sat in that little thing and you had to tell the priest your deep, dark sins, which I think originates back to the day when the priests wanted to know what was going on in society, and that's the way they got it. But anywho, I went and sinned, and of course I never told the truth. It was a sin on top of it.
So you were sinning while
Dear
you
Father,
were talking about your sins.
I was angry at my brother. And I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so we were sent out to a pew and we were ordered to say, you know, 10 Hail Marys and one Our Father. And of course, we knew the measurement of sin then was how long you had to stay in the pew and you know, look at so-and-so. He's been there for 10 minutes. He must have been really bad.
So. Oh, my goodness.
So that's how I was raised.
So if we, because I just happened to have the 10 Commandments pulled up right now. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, which is idols.
Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Number five, honor thy father and thy mother.
Number six, thou shalt not kill.
Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery.
So adultery is considered worse than killing?
I
know. We're
well, no, killing
this is
was
the
first.
I know.
But not honoring thy mother and father
is right up there.
Is worse than, if we're going in numerical
yeah, order,
order,
yes.
Than actually to take a human's life, which is crazy to me because my scale, the Tina Mason scale, is what can you do to make amends? What can you do to make restitution, right? Mm-hmm. If I am disrespectful to thy mother or thy father, I can say I'm sorry. But if I kill someone,
that's it.
Can't give them their life back. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing some flaws here with the whole
ranking system. Let's see what the top one is. So number 8 is thou shalt not steal.
Number 9 is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Uh-oh. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or things, right?
Well, it just says house.
Oh, okay. So I can covet your car.
My car, my husband, my unicorn slippers, just not my house. Yeah. Which is weird because we share a house, so...
There's no honor thy son and thy daughter.
No.
You don't have to respect your kids.
So weird. Understand that I'll speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I have a very strong connection to God. I do call him Heavenly Father, and sometimes I call him Dad. We are not making light in the slightest of the Ten Commandments.
No. I respect the Ten Commandments, actually. It's a way of living, actually.
I agree. And I believe that that's what it was meant to be is, hey, look, here's these 10 things. Keep these at the top of your list of duties for the day, and you'll be able to make it through. Mm-hmm. Laura, your thought process on that?
Mine is exactly the same. I don't follow any religion per se, but I do try to honor the Ten Commandments. They are a way of living, regardless if you believe in God or any religion per se. It's just a good way to live.
Agreed.
Don't kill anybody. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be jealous.
I believe that number 5, honor thy father and thy mother. I don't believe that they're talking about our earthly parents. That's just my personal mm-hmm. view, because anybody who knows my childhood, I don't believe that God would expect me to honor.
But you did have, and I don't know, you can correct this because I'm not 100% sure, were you disrespectful to your mother, or were you still like the child that still listened because...
Yeah, I was never disrespectful because I would be beaten and locked in a closet. But what I'm saying is, I believe that when they say honor thy father and thy mother, I don't think that they're talking about our earthly
parents.
I think that they're talking about our heavenly parents, because I also don't believe that Father would ask me to honor someone who had not earned that respect to do so.
I never thought of it that way, but we're not going to let my kids know that it could be.
Oh, goodness. I could see that with your daughter, but you truly believe your son's following these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Step and by step.
Stand by for the do, 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 do. We're just having Laura committed to a mental institution. So if you are going by these rankings, thou shalt not kill is halfway down the list. I don't believe that they are meant to be in any kind of order.
Yeah. Although, I mean, yes, killing ultimate in my book as well, like on the top, right? That's the worst.
Well, because you can't bring them back.
But let's say adultery or any of the other ones, you're killing a little part of that person in life. I don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you, because anytime that happens, you're killing trust, you're killing self-esteem, self-worth, all of those things, and creating trauma. Literally, I feel like all of these things are saying, hey, look, don't cause trauma in another human. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to spend an entire lifetime trying to undo that.
Correct.
So, and believe it or not, this episode is not about the Ten Commandments.
No.
But we just wanted to kind of go over that so that you could see that even in the Ten Commandments, it's not necessarily which one's worse than the other. Like I said, I have my own personal view of, I think that taking a life, because you can't give that back. You can't undo that. Not that being, disrespectful or adultery or stealing, I mean, it does hurt people, but you can make amends. There's time to make amends for that. Once a life is gone, our brother Christ is coming back. He's the only one that I know of that has been resurrected. But society tells us what is bad and what is okay and what is not okay.
Organized religion as well.
Agreed.
They like to rank it. My husband and I one day were talking and we're like, but who ranks sin? A sin is a sin.
Exactly.
If we're using the word sin, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I get questioned a lot as well, and I know you do, is tattoos, right?
Right.
According to a lot of people, that's a sin. Let's say it is. Let's say it's a sin. Well, what makes it worse than somebody that stole a cookie?
Exactly.
That's a sin.
Exactly.
Who tells me, no, that that's worse? Where does it say?
It's society. It's society. And if I have learned anything over the last 3.5 years, I have learned that I have a much better moral compass for me than society does. Because if I were to become the person that society tells me to respect instead of the person that I would respect, I'm probably going to be either visiting them in prison or going to their trial, because most of the people that society tells us we should respect have...
That'll be another whole podcast.
That we'll save for a later date. Yeah. My own moral compass has shifted a lot over the last 3.5 years because I was very entrenched for most of my life in organized religion, had gone to different churches, but had been going to the same church for 30 years. I'm dating myself here. I was told in that religion that tattoos were bad, because you brought up tattoos, so this made me think of it.
And earrings.
And earrings.
You have holes in your ears.
I always fed into that. And I finally, after I started kind of researching myself and having some very intense conversations with God, God told me, he said, my child, read Revelations 19:16. I said, what does it say? And he said, read it. So I went and read it, and it's talking about the second coming of Christ. And it said, upon his vestal and his thigh, so his vestal is his robe, and his thigh, he bore a mark that read, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I said, a mark? And he said, it wasn't Sharpie. And I said, wait, Christ had a tattoo? He said, and it was in front of your face your entire life. But you never once asked me. You just believed what society told you. And I said, you know, I am no scholar. I'm 100% with you. I'm no scholar. But I know for a fact that there's something in there about not cutting or marking the skin or something like that. And he said, read it again, child. I said, do not get cuttings or markings in the skin in remembrance of the dead, because my children do not die. Energy can be created. It cannot be destroyed. And I just thought, shit. All this time, I myself was judging other people. Mm-hmm. I myself was judging myself. Because I have tattoos, believing what society told me was not okay. And I never asked for myself.
You can't be loved if you have a tattoo.
Oh, how could you? And, you know, one of the things that I've heard so many times from people about tattoos is, what if after you die and you're resurrected and then you're just stuck with that tattoo? And I'm like, here's the deal. If God can raise Jesus from the dead... If you're telling me that a man who has lost his legs will now have legs, you really think that if God doesn't want me to have a tattoo, that he can't remove
get
it?
Get rid of it, yeah.
I don't know about the God you believe in, but the one I believe in, he's got a little more juice than that. You know what I'm saying? My moral compass for so many years was what society said it was. Yeah. And then, you know, I realized that nothing is all good and nothing is all bad. Because we weren't sent here to be perfect. We were sent here to be balanced. Because how many times did God tell us not to fear?
365.
How many days in the year is there?
300. 365.
So if he told us once for every day of the year, then not fearing is really important. All there is in perfection is the fear of obtaining it and the fear of keeping it.
What would people do if do not fear was in the Ten Commandments?
They'd still fear, because it says not to judge, and they still do that, so.
Well, I know, but all those people that like, oh, we adhere to no sins and Ten Commandments can't
what is,
fear.
What is worse, if I punch you in the nose, or if I tell you that you are fat and ugly and that nobody will ever love you? Which one's worse?
Probably the words are more damaging. The nose will heal.
But society, our laws, say...
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
But if I punch you in the nose, I'll go to jail.
Which you can say whatever you want.
Well, but
it's just damaging.
Yeah,
yes.
My point that I'm saying is that society says that punching somebody in the nose, something that will heal,
is illegal.
Is illegal, and you would go to jail. But I can damage your psyche for years to come, mm-hmm. and that's not
that's
illegal.
Not a sin.
So I think a lot of times we rank sin by our legal system.
By the law, that's what I was just going
to
say. Yeah.
By our legal system. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts myself, and shout out to Anatomy of Murder. Anyways, but in those true crime podcasts, I have learned a lot about our legal system and things like that. I was listening to one the other day and I was so appalled. This man raped a child and he got 3 years. When he got out of jail, he broke his probation and they put him back in jail for 18 years for fleeing, like he fled his, mm-hmm. not for
the crime,
yes. But he got 18 years for breaking his probation. And it wasn't like you're on probation until, because you're not doing your full sentence. And if you don't do what you're supposed to, you'll have to go back. And it was literally a second conviction for breaking his probation. And he got 18 years.
For that.
3 years for raping a child. And 18 years because you did not do what the government told you to do. I see a problem with this. I see a problem with this.
Yes.
So which sin was worse?
Apparently our sin is now governed by the law.
So because society, our government, says it is worse to not do as they say as opposed
to actually commit
raping a child. Yeah. I have a problem with that. I have a big problem with that. I think basically the point that I'm making is that...
Don't be an a-hole.
that's
my point.
That's so staying in. What brought this topic up today was I deal in emotional trauma, and I was speaking to a client. He was telling me that he was done with his relationship and that his spouse was doing this and doing that and blah, 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 blah. And I asked him, what was your part in it? And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he said, but I told you she's doing this, this, and this. And I said, okay, but what is your part in it? And he was totally flummoxed. And he's like, well, but this is worse than what I've done. And I said, who said it was worse? It may be worse to you, but is it worse to her?
And did y'all talk about it in that way, not just you, you know?
Exactly.
And how what you're doing is affecting me and vice versa. Yeah.
One of the important points of this conversation was the what I do is get to the root issue pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I said, you've been with this person for several years and none of these things that you're telling me about bother you. But now all of a sudden they do. What did she do to hurt you? What did she do that made you all of a sudden say, what I am receiving from this relationship is not worth putting up with these things that I don't like? He just kind of sat there and looked at me and he said, well, she works a lot now. And so I said, okay, so you feel like a single man with a married man's problems? And he said, yes, exactly. I said, so as you're having these conversations with her and telling her all these things that are wrong, that she's doing wrong, have you ever told her that she hurt your feelings? Or are you just telling her she's not enough?
And what's worse in this instance, him not being honest about how he really feels?
Is it worse that she's doing exactly what she's been doing for years and he's never spoke up and told her he didn't like it?
So how do you judge that? Who's in the right? Who is sinning with their dishonesty or you?
Exactly, because there is no ranking in sin. That literally just comes down to communication.
For sure.
And taking ownership of your own shit.
Your own behavior in the relationship.
Agreed. Laura, let's talk about our new friend Dawson.
Yes, let's.
I want to give a shout out to Dawson, an amazing human who
randomly showed up here today.
Randomly showed up at our office today. True amazing human. Society says that a true amazing human needs to show up in a business suit, driving a perfect car, have an impeccable speech, and Dawson spoke just fine, but that there's this image of what a successful, good human must look like. Laura, will you read what I'm wearing today?
It says Morningwood Furniture Company.
So, and unicorn slippers.
Yes.
Success at humaning has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with the items you have.
Yes. And we will actually have a podcast about this topic in particular.
Yes, we will. But it is about living a life of peace, love, and joy, which is the absence of fear, and being the human you would respect. You would respect. Not society. You. And Dawson is living the life he chooses. It may not be the life that society says would be successful, but that it was the most honest, kind.
Very humble, kind, yes.
Humble. I truly enjoyed being in his space, and I feel like meeting him has made me a better human. That is what I admire. That is what I respect. Because I don't think that man could lie if he tried.
Yeah, he was very genuine.
The tears in his eyes of just the gratitude that Laura and I, as business owners, he was at a laundromat in our strip mall, would sit and have these earnest conversations with him, made me sad, because it made me think, it's not like this guy was talking crazy or anything else. He had amazing, wonderful views. How many people look at him and say, you are not what society would call successful, therefore, I don't want to hear what you have to say. And I feel like it's happened a lot to this man because of exactly how he responded so emotionally to the two of us just sitting and talking to him. And I gave him a copy of my first book, and I thought that he was going to just
he was coming
start
out of,
crying
yes.
right there. It was a very humbling experience for me because we had a whole different topic for today. And after Laura and I started talking about what happened and what happened with my client yesterday, we realized how skewed the views that society has taught us from birth of what is important, what is sin, and what is worse.
It would have been a sin to turn this man away.
I agree.
That would have been an absolute sin. He was a delightful.
And how many people in that man's life have made that sin?
I believe a lot.
Yeah, and it's very sad to me. As a matter of fact, you know what? I think that we should dedicate this episode to him.
To Mr. Dawson.
We're going to call this episode Dawson's Wisdom.
Don't lie to Dawson.
Love Dawson. He's a nice man.
Back to measuring of sin.
Measuring of sin.
We got a little off topic there, but it's one of those things that I feel strong about, just with my children as well, just teaching them a sin. And again, using the word sin, you can call it whatever you want, but a sin is a sin. Doesn't matter what it is. I go back to, again, as well to you as murder, killing. That's, in my personal book, the ultimate don't do that. Whatever they choose to do, who they choose to be.
Why is it your business? Mm-hmm. Why is it anyone's business? Nobody's. And the thing is that if we're doing that measurement of what is worse? If you believe that God does not want us to have tattoos, was it worse that this man got a tattoo and proudly displayed it to the world, did not hide it, or that you lied to your boss about being sick, that you never admitted to, that you hid from everyone, or that you had an affair, or that
you stole
something? Which one is worse? Neither, because we don't get to decide. The authority to judge does not reside on the earth. But it is human nature to automatically go to, when there is a discrepancy, to automatically go to, this person is worse than me because. Mm-hmm. Now, we have situationals. We have where there is a situation where you have an aggressor or, you know, something like that. But as far as who did what, who said which one is worse? Who gets to say that calling someone a bitch is worse than calling someone ugly? They both hurt. Mm-hmm. They both create damage.
I think we are our own judge of that. Of course, the judgment, ultimate judgment, resides with our Heavenly
Agreed.
Father. But on earth, I don't get to judge you for what you did.
We're not
if
supposed
I, even
to.
If I consider it a sin, that's my problem. You well, know what I mean? And you got a tattoo. It doesn't affect me in any way or form.
Yeah, but society is so quick to discount a human mm-hmm. because they did something that in their teachings and their belief system yes. was wrong. Yes. So therefore, that person is not of value.
I've many times been told, you know, you can't get into heaven because of my tattoos. I mean, seriously.
I'm going to explain it this way. Laura, I'm going to ask you a question. If your son or your daughter did something, let's say you don't like tattoos, that you feel that it is against God to get a tattoo, and they got one, would you slate them for hell?
No.
Would you not
at all.
Would you not allow them into your home?
Of course I would. I would allow them into my home. Yes.
Is God a lesser parent than you would be?
Heck no.
If you wouldn't do it, then why would the God of all creation, because he is our father, mm-hmm. we are his children. And honestly, I've met the dude. He's super cool.
He's a cool cat.
He's just a dad who loves us and wants us to be happy, wants us to have pure intent, wants us to walk our own path. Because you know what? How arrogant of us to think that we have the right to walk another human's path.
And to judge.
And to judge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Laura and I just had a situation recently where someone was telling us that they were not fond of a friend of ours, was commenting on certain behaviors and other things. Laura and I both listened. And later on, I said to this individual, I said, if I were to tell you, and I gave some background on this individual's childhood, which...
Horrific.
I said, I ask you, do you see this person differently? And the individual I was talking to was so embarrassed and so ashamed, said, yeah, I was being a judgmental jerk. And I didn't confirm or deny, because I love this individual very much.
Yes.
But we are taught to be judgmental from the day we are born as a defense mechanism. We are taught that if we get caught doing something that is not of kind or loving intent, that the way to get out of it instead of just taking ownership of it and saying, ooh, yeah, I did that, is to blame it on someone else. To say, well, I wouldn't have done that if you wouldn't mm-hmm. have done this. Or... I did that, but you did this. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. It is the intent behind it. If your intent is loving kindness, if your intent is trying to find truth, if your intent is to protect someone, there's nothing wrong with that. If your intent is to be cruel or to get away with something, to hide something you have done, then I think that's worse.
Yeah, and I always never understood why people felt so strongly about my actions if it didn't affect them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, you did this and...
Because, Laura, you're an amazing human, and we just want you to be ultimate amazing.
Ultimate. Yeah, but like, oh, you're not going to get into heaven or, you know, especially in the Catholic Church because you did this, this, and this. And I never understood why it mattered to them so much. And I know it wasn't out of kindness, like, oh, we just want you to get into heaven, you know?
No,
it was just judgmental a-holes. And, yeah, stop.
Well, it's kind of like...
Mind your own business.
It reminds me of... So I'm gonna bust out my oldest kid who will be 26 here shortly. She is highly, highly intelligent young woman, beautiful, amazing, and kind-hearted and loving. When she was 3... She went to this learning academy, and she was learning all new words that we didn't say at home because, you know, we were at that point extremely entrenched in organized religion and didn't realize that God actually doesn't have a list of cuss words, that those are just sounds that a man said were offensive.
Yeah, Mom.
We love you, Lele. Anyway, so she was 3, and we were eating dinner, and she was sitting in her high chair, and she dropped her fork, and it, like, splattered whatever she was eating, and she goes, shit, 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 shit. My husband and I looked at each other. We could – I mean, like, it was – I mean, it was like she just said, I have decided to eat the heads of baby seals. Like, that's how we literally were so horrified, which now I would find it funny. I mean, I would, of course, probably correct her and say that we probably don't want to say that at three. So I said, what did you say? And she looked me dead in the eye and she said, shit, 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 shit. My husband whisks her up and takes her in the bathroom. And
ooh, did she get soap in her mouth?
She got soap in her mouth. Then about 2 weeks later, we were at my mom's house. We had left her with my mom to go shopping. And when we come back, my mom is just in tears laughing. And she said, I have to tell you what happened. She said, I was sitting here talking to your sister and I had the sliding glass door open and Kayla was out on the back porch. And as I was talking, I said the word shit. I saw Kayla get up and dust herself off and she, you know, walked into the bathroom and didn't say anything. Comes out and she's got her hands behind her back and she said, Nana, stick out your tongue. And my mom, not knowing what's going on, stuck out her tongue. And my daughter takes this soap and goes, we don't say those words, Nana. So.
That's hilarious. I had not heard that story.
Isn't that beautiful? It's fabulous. Anyway, so my point of telling that story is I think that a lot of times when people get reprimanded for doing something and they see another person doing it, instead of just like an innocent little child saying, hey, we don't say those things, because she didn't, had no intent, no malice. Mm-hmm. It was how we had taught her to correct the issue. Instead of us saying to that person, hey, you know what? I've been where you are. I did that. And this is what happened. I love you exactly as you are. But I'm just telling you that could create some serious issues for you in the future. We say, God's not going to love you. Now, that is the equivalent.
You don't deserve love.
You don't deserve love. That is the equivalent of someone telling one of my children, if you get a tattoo, your mother will not love you. Who the hell do you think you are? Mm-hmm. And I believe that that is probably what Father says every time someone says, God is not going to. Who the hell do you think mm-hmm. you are to speak for me?
Amen.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is also that there are parents out there that judge their children for sins that they believe, and they have cast them out of their homes. And they have, I mean, I've had parents, or I've known parents that, you know, angry at their daughters for piercing their ears, you know, and it was a sin. And
yeah,
I'm Hispanic, so they do it as soon as you're born. So I didn't really even have a choice. But
I was an asshole about my kids getting their face, like getting a nose piercing or a cheek piercing, and I regret that so much. It's not my body.
But it didn't keep you from loving them. You were upset what they were doing. But but again, yes, free will. It's their body.
Just a little sidebar here on piercings. 99.9% of women have their ears pierced, correct? Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious when, because I have a nose piercing and so does Laura. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter has her cheeks pierced and my youngest daughter has her lips pierced or her lip pierced. I have been scouring, and if somebody could please maybe send us an email or something, because I've not been able to find where it says in the Bible, thou may be allowed to pierce thy ears, but no other body part. Who made that? Oh, that's right. It was society.
Society
said a woman may pierce both of her earlobes.
And men may not.
And men may not. And then men could. Society changed its mind, and apparently maybe there was new scripture found or something. Mm-hmm. And then it was a man could pierce one ear.
One ear.
But you had to pierce either the right or the left. To identify whether or not you were gay or straight. Wow.
That was back in the 80s. I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah. And half the time I couldn't remember which side it was.
I didn't even look. I mean, if I did look, it was like, ooh, I like those earrings. Can I borrow those? You know? I mean, it's so. But that's what society does, and they change their mind all the time.
Or boys with long hair, or.
I mean, I know of churches who said that black people could not be a part of their congregation. They couldn't hold any kind of office in their congregation, or women. And then, you know.
That's not human.
Well, no, that's beneath, right?
That's not even human. But, women are not human.
But then, years later, changed their stance. Well, but did they change their stance because they found new doctrine? Because surely you're not excluding people unless God told you to. right?
You'd think.
So
no, yeah.
Or was it because society said that it's not okay to do that anymore? Because remember, 40 years ago, it was still legal to beat your wife and rape her.
Well, the funny thing is that there are still people out there that believe that, like, Jesus was white.
Who said?
I know, but it's like, well, he was born in the Middle East, so obviously he was most likely a Middle Eastern descent and skin color.
And his beautiful mother, Mary, had a nose piercing and an ear piercing and ran a chain from the nose piercing to the ear piercing because that was the style back then. But now, the woman who bore Christ, her style is now against God. I'm really confused on this.
He changed his mind.
I think the point that Laura and I are trying to make is we have a right to decide what we want in our space. We have the right to say, I'm not okay with that, and I don't want that in my space. As a matter of fact, I think we have a responsibility to tell people.
To speak up.
To speak up, to speak our truth with no fear of judgment and say, look, I just feel very uncomfortable with whatever. Even if it is something that is judgmental, like I don't really want to be around people with tattoos. I don't understand it, but I don't have a right to judge you for not wanting to be around people with tattoos. Mm-hmm. I have the right to say what I allow in my space, but I don't have the right to tell another human what they can or cannot do.
Or that what they're doing is a sin, you know, the ultimate sin.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I can say if Laura gets mad at me and calls me a bitch, I can say, no, you may not do that in my space.
Because you're a bitch.
I have to work with her. But I can say, no, I won't allow that in my space. But I can't say, well, I mean, I can. I don't have the right to say, Laura, you may not call me a bitch. Because I don't get to tell Laura what she can and cannot do. I only get to choose what I allow in my space.
And I use the word bichachos. Sorry.
There you go. Because the one promise God gave us was free will. Free will. And he promised to never take it. So how do you think?
Even if you choose to sin. That's your free will.
Even if you choose to sin.
Who are we to judge?
Exactly.
What another does.
So if we try to use God as an excuse to take another human's free will, like, oh, you better not get that tattoo because God's not going to love you. Is that not you putting yourself before God, saying that you yourself have more power, even though he won't take free will, that you have the power to? Wouldn't that be breaking the first commandment, which is thou shall put no God before me? I'm just spitballing. So my thought process here, take it or leave it, is how about if we spend more time walking our own path and less time trying to create someone else's? Because if we believe that we have the ability to alter another human's path or plan it for them, would that not make us God? That's between God and his children. When my kids were growing up, you can wage an opinion, but you're not going to choose how I raise my children. You're not going to choose how I teach them. Imagine someone telling you, you cannot teach your child about God, or you have to teach your child about God. I think there would be some resistance on that.
A little bit.
How do you think God feels when we as individuals try and use him as an excuse or try to shame people into living the life we think they should live? Because guess what? If you're wrong, if they do what you tell them to do and you're wrong, you don't pay for it. They do. I think loving kindness goes a long way. I think setting boundaries and letting people know what you will and will not accept in your space is vital. And if they choose not to be in your space because of that, that's okay. That doesn't mean that you're not okay or that you're not of worth. What it means is that their fear of looking within to see why they're having that bad behavior is greater than their ability to look at it. And that has nothing to do with you.
So my conclusion is just be kind.
Don't be an
a-hole. Don't judge. There's no ranking of sin. There's nothing better or worse. You can't compare.
And your sin doesn't go away because you point out someone else's.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people tend to do that just to feel better about themselves.
Exactly.
I did this, but you did that. And again, there's no ranking. A sin is a sin.
Agreed.
Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
I challenge you to join us in believing your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about free will healing, Tina or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. Reviews are how we grow our listenership and allow everyone the courage to think for themselves with no fear or judgment.
Please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.
Laura and I encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
Who Said You Have To?